Morning, everybody. This first reading is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. This is the day of the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The reading is taken from Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 to 30, and it's about the parable of the talents. For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug it in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast a worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you for everything that Wendy is. We just thank you for the calling that you've placed on her life. And we just thank you for the words that are the message she has for us this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Andrew, and thank you for the very warm welcome that I've received. It's just lovely to be back with you. Shall we just pause for a moment of prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if you think gospel means good news, there's something there that jars, isn't there? It sounds like that unworthy servant who is judged and condemned has not received the good news. On the other hand, in our epistle, we get the beautiful words that God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. As a pioneer minister, I'm trying to communicate the love of God to people, and I certainly don't think I'm going to use the end of this parable to start off with, because judgment is quite harsh in this parable. This lazy servant, this servant who doesn't do what his master expects him to do. It seemed a bit unfair, and I think sometimes we do feel a little bit like life is unfair. I don't know if any of you have brothers and sisters, but I grew up with both. And sometimes I did certainly feel like, well, what was all right for them didn't seem all right for me. And it seemed a little bit unfair. We've all had that experience. In the workplace or in the place of worship, things happen. And yes, we feel things aren't quite as they should be. To be honest, sometimes the message of the Bible and the words of Jesus seem contradictory as well. Sometimes he's saying, do not worry about anything. Sometimes he's saying, do not be afraid. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. But then parables like this seem to be all about our work. Our work is what the master on his return is looking for. Which is it? Well, of course, we know that reading through the Bible, it's both, because our works flow out of our faith and love of the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think that the Lord, like a wise and loving parent, often says different things to different people at different times. And I think that the Pharisees, who were in the audience of this particular parable, needed to hear about the fact that the lazy servant, the servant who condemned others, could well be judged quite harshly. This reminds me that a good sermon, it said, must do two things. It must comfort those who are feeling afflicted and in pain, but it also must afflict and disturb those who are too comfortable and sitting quite relaxed, thinking, God will never come again. Jesus isn't going to come again. It's going to take a long time. One of the readings which we didn't hear today is actually from the prophet Zephaniah in the Old Testament. So again, there's a warning in there. And the warning is this. It says, "Be silent, for the day of the Lord is upon us." "At that time," says the Lord, "I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the people who rest complacently on the dregs of their wine. Those who say in their hearts, 'The Lord will do not, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do harm. Where is the Lord?' Well, their wealth shall be plundered," said Zephaniah, "their houses laid waste." So there's a rebuke in there about, again, complacency. Now, you'll know from statistics, in the Church Times this week, there was a whole graph of the way that attendance in the Church of England has fallen, especially during COVID, but hasn't quite recovered since then. You'll know all about that. You'll know that it's quite hard to get people to commit to coming on a Sunday morning because there's lots of other stuff happening, not least football or shopping. Sometimes we are in danger of thinking, well, where is God? Where is God in the midst of all this? Is he with us, his people, still? Is he here? And maybe we should just live complacent and relaxed Christian lives and not worry too much. But the truth is that when Jesus comes again, well, will we be ready or not? In Thessalonians, we're reminded, the reading that we've just had, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, just when people are saying that it's all peaceful and we're safe and we're okay. I think that people and politicians who do whatever they like, sometimes they think that they will not be held accountable. But even those who are not caught out will be held to account for the way they've lived their lives. I think sometimes when people think they can do what they like, then it's the weak and the vulnerable who are most exploited and who suffer the most. So calling people to face up to what they've done is good news for those who are being treated unjustly. The Master's return is good news for those who've stayed awake and been prepared and who are ready for the Master. They know him as a loving Lord, but they also know that he expects the best from each one of them, and that is related to the talents and the resources and the money that he has given us to work for him. He's looking for people who have not lapsed into some kind of complacency or idleness, but have kept active, have worked hard, have been good stewards of all these resources that God has given to us. And actually, coming here today, you are faithful people. You in Mark's Tay are people who have continued through the ups and downs, through people coming and going, through COVID, to worship the Lord in this place. People will find worshiping people when they come here. You have musicians. You have people who are sorting out the sound, thank you so much, and doing the laptop, and serving a communion. You have people who are sidesmen. You have people who read. You have people who love one another. You have people who say, yes, the church tower needs redoing. What can we do about that? Let's get together. Let's have a fair. Let's enjoy ourselves, but at the same time, let's make some money to keep our church sound. You support CYO in the schools. You take Open the Book to St. Andrews. You think of the refugees who have been in the hotel. You support Bridgeway Mission, who are doing so many good things amongst the most vulnerable. When the Lord comes, will he find you watching and waiting and working for his kingdom? Yes, he will. His business is to save those people who don't yet know him And he does that through his Holy Spirit, but he cannot do it without us partnering with him in the work that he's given us to do, using the resources, whatever it is, music, comedy, I'm not going to name them all, whatever it is that God has given us, let us be at work, active, making use of those talents that he's given us. Now, chapter 25 of Matthew, which is part of which we've read, the middle part, is actually three parables, and they all have a similar message. Last week, I'm not sure who was preaching, but they would have been preaching on the 10 virgins. Is that correct? Remembrance. Oh, the week. Okay. Anyway, the parable of the 10 virgins, you know about it. 5 of them were ready. The other 5 landed up not having enough oil in their lamps, and goodness, they went out and got oil, and the bridegroom came. They didn't get invited into the banquet. That parable is about keeping watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day, the hour, when the bridegroom comes. Watch and wait. Now, today, we've got this parable of the talents. The NIV translates it as bags of gold. Did you know that one talent, which the lazy servant got, compared with the 10 and the 5, one talent is worth a considerable amount of money. Actually, it's enough to pay a workman who's on a daily wage for about 20 years. That's how much money was given to these people to use. The point of this parable, of course, is that people who are not under the constant watch of their master had gone away, but they would still be using and doing the right things. So we're called not just to watch and wait, but we also call to work, to grow the kingdom of God, and not to be the one who buries his talent and is lazy and just carries on his own way and his own not happy place in the end, no banquet either. What are the final chapter of the final parable in chapter 25? Now, this is probably the best known one. It's the parable of the sheep and the goats. It's the parable where Jesus, who is called the Son of Man, comes back again and he separates people from one side to the other. These are sheep, these are goats. What's the difference, we ask? Well, we know that the faithful, who are called sheep in this paragraph, are those who tend to the needs of the marginal people, the hungry, the thirsty, those unclothed, the stranger, the prisoner, the lonely in our midst. I loved, and still do, Bishop Gooley's Travelling Well Together document, because in that, I think most of you have read it, in that she has, with the bishops, put 7 values. And one of the values, the second value, speaks of what this parable is talking about. She says this. It's called taking care or taking notice of the marginal and the vulnerable. She reminds us that our calling is not to strain after worldly success, but to be a faithful and gentle presence and trust that God will use our conversations, encounters, and all our efforts in ways that we may never fully understand. Where there is growth, we will rejoice and offer encouragement, whilst always remembering that God also treasures that which is small and fragile, and we are invited to do the same. That one person that you know that needs encouragement, that needs a hot meal, that needs an invitation for a cup of tea, that one person is valuable in God's sight. Never think that those tiny things that you do go unnoticed. So The sheep say, Lord, we never saw you in that situation. We never saw you hungry, thirsty, unclothed, in prison, needing a drink. But the Son of Man says, Jesus, the King of Kings, says, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers or sisters, you did it for me. So my friends and brothers and sisters in Oldham and Mark's Tay, in this beautiful parish, I encourage you, God is at work. Will he find you at work? Our calling is to be watchful, be prayerful, be waiting, but also to be working. Let us be partners in growing God's kingdom together. Amen.